there, lollygaggers. Another week on tap here at Lollygagging Sports. I am Bo Reed, along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. And Samantha, I'm not saying that Def Leppard's Animal is a sign of something in my segment, but it could be. It's possible.
I think I know where you're going with this. If you give the same answer you always give to the thing that I think that you're talking about, I will not be surprised. I'm just throwing that out there.
So this, I don't always give that answer, just most
you
of the time.
You absolutely do.
Most of the time.
just most of the time.
Okay, but in this instance, it fits. We'll get to that later. How are you doing? How's everything going up there? Where are you at? You're on vacation, right? Are you still on vacation?
Yeah, we're at the house in Maine until the end of August.
Got it.
We'll be here for a while, and then we will move into our new house in Cambridge. Well, actually, it's not a new house. It's like 100 years old, but new to us. So it's having construction because it had neon blue countertops.
Yikes.
You've seen the picture.
I know.
Can you confirm for the people that they were neon blue? I had to redo the entire kitchen.
See, I was leaning more towards dolphin teal, but...
Dolphin teal would also be... Yeah, that is perhaps more accurate. It was very Lisa Frank in that kitchen.
Yeah, very Lisa either way, Frank. It had to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't think that I could... I don't know what happened to the food if I tried to cook in there. It was horrifying.
Would everything turn blue?
Oh, God. I didn't even thought of that. Yeah. I don't know. You guys, it was bad. It's like, I don't know who took this. It's a beautiful house otherwise. And then somebody, like, had a psychotic break in the kitchen and it looked like Lisa Frank. I don't know what else to tell you guys, but anyway, it's being remedied. It's all going to be fine. Boy.
Oh, boy. All right. Irby, how about you? Do you have any blue countertops you want to talk about?
No, but immediately thinking through what you were just saying, like, aren't psychotic breaks usually they do occur in the kitchen?
True story.
Well, Sylvia Plasticker had in the oven, right? So
right. Like I'm thinking through, you know, real life, books, movies, mm-hmm. like there's plenty of like, wow, kitchen, wow, I'm glad I don't record in my kitchen.
It's something to consider.
I guess next time I'm going for a Gundy, I'm going to move to the kitchen and do it.
I mean, if I'd left those blue countertops there, I probably would have had a psychotic break. So.
See, you know what? I had one over the weekend. And I'm not...
And it was in your kitchen.
Yeah.
You did it in the kitchen. Yes.
Yeah, it was in the kitchen. This is why I grill. I don't like ovens, and this is why.
You did, but you saved that oven. He had a terrible cooking disaster, you guys, but 24 hours of labor later, he did manage to salvage the oven.
Yeah.
Doesn't well, if it you... makes you feel any better, I would have had a psychotic break, too, if that happens to me.
Oh, okay. That's enough about kitchens. Let's get into some rapid fire. Samantha, you ready to go?
I am ready. 10 questions. No time to think. Short answers. You will be able to, if you so choose, explain what a bee is. Feel free to play along at home if you would like. There are no questions about kitchens, countertops, or the color blue. But there are, however, a lot of questions about All-Star Week. So let's start with the big fish. The swing off. This is the first time we've seen it in action. It actually happened pretty quickly after the rule change. What do we think? Did this work? Now, I'm not asking you, did the managers handle it correctly? I mean, that's a whole other kettle of fish. But what do we think of the format?
Loved it. I'm going to come back to it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to come back to it.
Okay. Okay, cool. Irby?
Yes, format. I'm on board. Loved it. Well done.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. The Hank Aaron tribute?
Yep.
I just want to hear your thoughts on this. Like, how did they do that? It was so cool. How did they do that? I don't understand how they did the things they did. The marvels of modern technology or something, but amazing. Yeah? What do we think?
Yeah, no, it was that was absolutely on point. Absolutely amazing. You know, what's interesting, I didn't know this until recently, but if you go to the old, like, where the Fulton County Stadium was, obviously it's a parking lot now, but they preserved where the home run cleared the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no surprise that they did something really cool at the All-Star Game for him.
Irby?
You talked about the technology. Yes, it's another step in that direction. It's amazing the technological advances that we can make when we want to make them.
Mm-hmm. And yet
we still just, with dentists, it's, just brush. Really? Y'all can't come up with anything new.
Right. And then, and if something goes wrong, we'll just drill into your head. I'm not sure we're prioritizing the correct things, but I did really appreciate the aesthetics of this. It was very cool. And if we're going to do something like this for it, I love that this didn't feel performative like most tributes do. And mm-hmm. It was beautiful and well done and loved it. Okay. So let's talk about this one per team issue, mm-hmm. one guy per team in the All-Star game. It appears that the rule is the rule until the rule is not the rule, right? There had to be one until somebody dropped out, and then instead of replacing that person with somebody from that team, they just picked a random guy. So, don't we just need to end this concept? I know we talked about this last week, but I think we need to talk about it again, because since that happened, we've had this development.
Yeah.
It was you guys' team, specifically. Mm-hmm. So, are you guys mad about this? Because, I'm kind of mad on your behalf.
I'm pretty mad. I'm still pretty mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should come back to this one instead of the first one. Because we're going to violate rapid fire rules. But, I'm still pissed.
Yeah, no, we can come back to both. All right, make one of them mine if you need to. Irby, your quick thoughts. We'll come back to this one.
I just want to stoke the fire on Bo because I know how mad he is.
I know. He's super mad. It's
embarrassing. If there's not a candidate, but there was a pretty obvious candidate, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk Home Run Derby. The ESPN of it all.
Oh, God.
The split screen. Did anyone else just want to throw themselves off a bridge trying to watch that split screen? It's crazy. It's a home run derby, and then I never actually saw a home run. Wild.
Yeah, that was really, really bad. And it wasn't just the split screen. The on-field interviews were terrible. The announcing, if you want to call it that, throughout the home run derby was terrible. The entire experience mm-hmm. sucked. Like I'm sitting here I can't even just watch home runs because you got this on a split screen. I still haven't seen where that big bomb that O'Neal Cruz hit that apparently went out of the stadium. I still haven't seen that view.
I don't even know where it went because I couldn't see it. Yes.
It's once again, it's like you take the people love to see the players and try to let the players have the... No. We're oddly enough, for the home run derby, we're here for the home runs. I know, crazy concept, but I just want to see the home runs. That's it.
Mean, the StatCast broadcast was marginally better, but it was still having the split screen problem. It helped when you can see those arcs, the graphic on there, but again, I'm still not watching a home run. So, I thought that was irritating. That it was that in the Pat McAfee of it all.
Oh, God.
Right?
I
can't. Why are you? You don't have anything to do with baseball. I see you too much as it is. Go away.
You know what's bad is watching the player intros made me wish for the drunk anthem singer from last year.
I forgot about the drunk anthem singer. She was amazing. Oh, Ingrid. How are you? Ingrid, if you're listening, let us know how you're doing. Speaking of All-Star Game performers, what did we think of this year's group? They were better than Ingrid. It's a low bar again, but what did we think? So Ludacris, Jermaine Dupri, that whole group, Zach Brown Band doing the anthem, unknown opera singer doing God Bless America.
Yeah.
Did anybody have any opinions on any of this?
Well, I think the one thing that struck me was baseball clearly wanted to correct mistakes they made last year. So they went
like
with...
Like, not letting them drink before they perform.
Well, that, plus, I mean, they also went with the highly skilled for things like the anthem and God Bless America. They went for the upper echelon of skill as opposed to some random girl with an Instagram page.
I'm not sure she's actually less famous than Zach Brownden, though. That's the problem, right?
Like, yeah, true.
Yeah. So, yeah. Any thoughts on this?
Let's love that. I'll lower the bars. I can just visualize too. All right, we're heading out. Hey, real quick, walk that line. Just walk the line. I need you to walk that straight line real fast. Thank you. Awesome. Head on out. Like, it's good. I actually enjoyed the opera singer.
Yeah, I did too.
That was. It's always opera is always something because I know I can never do it, and I don't think I ever want to put my vocal cords through it. But when it's well done, it is very, very, very impressive.
Yeah, and that guy was quite good. And while I think we need to end the singing God Bless America at baseball games, I think it's time for that to end. But he was quite good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. The Zach Brown, but that's fine. I think they were trying to use Atlanta area musicians, which I think is good. I think sure. You should do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on Twitter, you know my feelings about the Ludacris business. Like, just play area codes, you cowards, and let them wear their jerseys of the cities that match the area codes in the song, and it would be my favorite thing ever because that would be hilarious, but of course they're not going to do that because they have no sense of humor. All right, Cal Raleigh.
Big dumper.
Derby champ, big dumper. So, two questions. One, does this hurt him, having done this, and do you think in the second half that he can keep this up?
Whew. Well, I mean, obviously, like, historically speaking, yeah, going that deep and winning it, it's going to screw his swing up a little bit. Can he keep going? I'd like to think he could, but we've got such a long track record of not. So I'm going to have to say, yes, it's going to hurt him, and no, he can't keep it up because of it. Just based off of past derbies.
Mm-hmm. All right. We had a catcher finally win. Yay!
I was waiting on him to crow about that.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
I'm going to go the same as you, Bo. Yes, this will hurt. No, he can't. No, I'm going to go yes. He can keep this up.
Oh, okay, interesting. So we have three different combinations of answers here, because like I actually don't think this will hurt him because he is using his natural swing, and the people who are hurt the most by doing the derby are the people who change their arm angle, change the launch angle in order to be successful in it, and he did not do that. I don't think he can keep it up because, I mean, I'm going to agree with Bo here, at least on this half of it, and say, like, because nobody ever does. So I'm just playing odds. Man, me and Luis Ortiz are going to go lay some money on this and say no, because history tells me that there's, like, a 0% chance that somebody keeps this up. All right. Draft, real quick, just your thoughts on your team, how your draft went.
I haven't done too deep of a dive, but those first few rounds I thought went about par for the course. With the Rangers, this is usually just what they do.
Irby?
Yeah. Great first pick, getting a very versatile player who has said multiple times, Gavin Fine has made it very obvious, I will play wherever you need me to play. I just want to play. Love a mindset like that. Very interesting, the next three picks by the Rangers, because all of them are coming off Tommy John surgeries. So, not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Just very interesting that you did three of those.
Yeah, that is interesting, actually. Okay, Guardians, yeah, for the most part, business as usual, except the first round. They went a little bit outside of what they normally do, which was bizarre. I don't love it. They have historically not been good at fixing people who cannot identify a strike and swing at everything. On the plus side, the gentleman's nickname is Lord Tubbington, and I could live off of that for years. So I don't really care if he's any good, because we have a guy called Lord Tubbington. Okay, anything surprise you just in general about the draft? Any thoughts?
It wasn't just the top pick that got screwed up. The Angels said, here, hold my beer. And also screwed up a little bit. I don't know. It was a very weird top, like, what, top five, you would, I would say, Irby?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it, there was a lot of unorthodox picking going on.
Yeah. I'll, let's just do my comeback.
Okay. All right. All right. You'll come back to this. I'll just say really quickly that, yeah, no, I agree with you, Bo. I, that first two picks, I was just like, sorry, what? Sorry, what? all right. Last thing before we come back around to the stuff we wanted to spend a little additional time on. What player would you want to spend the break with? So obviously you can't pick anybody who was participating in All-Star festivities. But who would you want to spend the break with? Just hanging out.
Okay, you know what? If it's just like fun and hanging out, you know, I think I got to go with, man, I'm blanking on his name now. Oh, catcher for the Guardians. He was with us in our World Series run.
Hedges.
Yes, thank you, Austin Hedges. I cannot believe I blanked on his name. yeah, I know. If it's fun, Austin Hedges. But like, if I legit like want to like talk baseball with somebody over the break and watching.
Oh, no. Stuff, they don't want to talk baseball. This is their break. They just want to hang.
Okay, then Austin Hedges.
Austin Hedges. Okay, yeah. Irby.
Current player.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I guess I could technically say Nathan Eovaldi, since he didn't get to do anything, but, you know.
That might be a little bit of a bummed out week.
Kind of a bad hang, yeah.
Yeah. Just that awkward silence at first, like, so we're not going to talk about, okay, we don't have to talk about it. You just want to go fishing? All right, cool, we go fishing. We won't talk about it. I won't say anything to say how long until he blows up and brings it up, but whatever. Yeah, that one could be fun.
Okay, it's rapid fire, so
yeah, I'll stop there. See, I can't go fast.
All right, well, we'll just let you hang out with David Eovaldi then. Good luck with that. Yeah. I'm going to go with Michael King, which will be a surprise to no one. Okay, so we wanted to come back to Irby. I know you want to talk about the draft. And Bo, you want to talk about the one per team, and what was the other one you wanted to talk about? Remind me.
That was the All-Star one per team rule.
No, the other one you wanted to come back to.
That was the swing off.
The swing off. All right, yeah. So let's start there then. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this. So what do we think? Did we enjoy this? Yeah.
No, I definitely enjoyed it, and it got me thinking, which is always a bad thing. But it got me thinking. Is it? And I'm talking about using this for like regular season extra innings instead of this ghost runner shit. On the surface, you're like, well, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? But at the same time, I got to ask both of you, like your opinion on this. Is it more ridiculous than the ghost runner? Is it more absurd?
Yes.
Than the ghost runner? You think so?
Yes. Absolutely, yeah, it is, yeah. Because you're not playing baseball. Yeah.
Yep.
It's fine for an All-Star game, but yeah, it's absolutely worth it.
That's fair. I'll give you that. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted your opinion on that particular, because that's where my brain went today. I'm like, is it really more absurd?
Okay. Okay, so basically everybody likes this, and the moral of the story is now you can't leave the game early anymore. Right?
Yeah, right. Because
you might be needed for a swing off, and you can't be used for a swing off because you went home.
You know, it's a good thing.
Like, is Judge here? Nope. Like, is you could just go down the list.
When I saw Aranda's name there, it was over for me in that moment. I'm like, well, yeah, lost. Like, what is this kid doing here?
Yeah.
His three swings were not bad, but it was definitely like, oh, that's cute. He thinks he can hit it over the fence.
Yeah. Tough look. All right. So let's talk about this one per team business. Bo, you have the floor.
Oh, don't worry. It's not going to be a Gundy rant. This is the All-Star game. Now, it's an exhibition. And look, I usually don't care about these rosters. Samantha, I agree with you from the beginning on this one. Get rid of this rule about one per team. Because this is like the other side of this coin that really irked me last night. was watching, well, one, White Sox pitcher hit a prime target at the trade deadline for a lot of teams in his hand. That's fun.
Uh-huh.
All right. Watching, you know, a White Sox player and a Rockies player, you know, two teams that are just the worst teams in baseball. The Rockies catcher Goodman, he's fine. He actually deserved to be there. I can't say the same thing about the White Sox pitcher. It just irked me a little bit more because Eovaldi should have been there. And I get it. I'm harping on my team, and that this is homer territory. But at the same time, Nathan Eovaldi has had a ridiculous first half of the season. He's 3 innings away, 4 innings away from qualifying as the MLB ERA leader.
Yep.
Okay, and he's not there. He got snubbed twice. If there was no one deserving on the Rangers, fine. But there was, and the Rangers go into the break with the best pitching staff statistically in the game. None of their pitchers are there playing in the game. So, yeah, no, I think you get rid of this one, had to have one per team. Because then maybe if you do get the snubs, at least you don't have to watch someone who has no business being there playing in the All-Star game, kind of putting salt in that wound.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's like, because look, we're not saying, you know, you could be a very good player on a very bad team and you might still deserve to go.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that there were plenty of people there who were clearly only there because we have this rule, right? So then you have this situation with the Rangers where DeGrom's not going to go. You had a very easy substitution, and this is the part that really bugs me. There's a guy on the team because you could make an argument
mm-hmm.
that no matter who dropped out of that game, as long as it was the pitcher, Eovaldi was the person who should have subbed in, even if the person dropping out hadn't also been a Ranger, even if there had been other Rangers on the team. That still makes sense. He was instead subbed out for somebody on the Royals who had multiple players on the roster already.
Yeah.
So you can't make the argument that everybody gets representation and bring in a bunch of people who don't deserve to be there, or overload the team with multiple people from a team who I would argue didn't deserve to have multiple representatives, and then say, whoops, you don't get one.
Yeah.
When the guy who should have been the sub, no matter who dropped out of the game, as long as it was a pitcher, should have been Eovaldi. Like, this is just really badly handled. Just really bad.
Yeah, which, you know, big credit to the Rangers. They gave him his $100,000 All-Star bonus anyway, because he should have been there.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
That was a classy move by the organization. But yeah, like the whole thing's just stunk to high heaven. And I hate getting riled up about the All-Star game because it's just not something.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But this was a particularly egregious situation that just irked the hell out of me, you know? But moving on.
Yeah, I think you're right to be mad about this. And I think you make a really good point that if you get rid of this rule, then at least if your guy gets snubbed, at least he's getting snubbed for somebody who there was presumably an argument for.
Yes.
You can't be like, I'm sorry, Nathan Eovaldi, like, league ERA leader, we can't have you here because the Marlins need an all-star. Man, F off. Like, no, I just, come on. Like, participation trophy, tilt not. And
then on top of that, we had a kid pitching for the National League who's made 5 career starts in baseball.
Oh, right. Don't even get me started on that. I'm big mad about that. Like, come on. Are you kidding me?
It's like, come on, man. I'm sitting here like what? And the thing is, you know, Eovaldi pitched on Sunday, so he probably wouldn't have pitched in the All-Star game anyway. But they
it's
didn't.
The principle of the thing.
Thank you. It's the principle of the thing. It's the same thing I told my wife when she was like, then why are you so mad? It's the principle. Oh.
Because there's a kid who's made 5 starts on this. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, my gosh. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Irby, do you want to add anything to this, or do you just want to move on to your draft?
No, that was fun. Thank you, guys. Yeah, the Ranger fan of me is kind of glad that Nathan didn't pitch and would take the rest and all that stuff. But no, I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. I am going to double down on that. Yes, that would definitely – I would do my break. I'd be hanging out with Nathan since I just learned. Bo, I didn't know that they honored the bonus. So that's great. That would be my opening line and hanging out with Nathan. Hey, man, you want to go blow through $100,000 real quick?
Yeah, I think
you're going to have to find a new activity.
Yeah, we're going to.
Yeah, I think it was Jeff Passan who put that out today. That they did that, which was, you know,
that's awesome.
That's good.
Let's go blow through $100,000 in 24 hours. Ready? yes, but no, I wholeheartedly agree with you guys. Let's either actually do the rule or don't do the rule. Don't do this.
Yep. Sorry. Yep. All right. Draft thoughts.
Draft. Yeah. I enjoyed. Wonderful. I think that the top seven picks kind of went as they were kind of supposed to for what the teams are that took them. Bo, you said that with the Angels. It didn't surprise me at all. Somebody who they're like, oh yeah, no, this is, they view this as somebody who is going to be. This is what the Angels do. They will promote him this year. He will pitch in the majors this year. Wholeheartedly.
How do you explain the Nationals? is it just because they don't know who's in charge now? Because they've got a GM and no one knows?
Well, there's a little bit of that. I think the Nationals are looking at this. You can maybe look at what happened with Jackson Holliday. They're not as big of a believers. The shortstop talent does not surprise me at all. You know, the first 16 picks were all pitchers and shortstops.
Mm-hmm.
No other position. Love that. I look, with the biggest issue I have with the Angels is just more personal. I think the best pitcher in this draft was Cade Anderson. Sorry, best college pitcher was Cade Anderson. And now he's with the Mariners. So, crap. they already got a great pitching staff, and they added Cade Anderson. Damn it.
You want that poor child to go spend eternity with the Angels.
They're going to trade him. Don't worry about it. The same thing.
He's a California kid, so he's a Southern California kid, so they're loving that already. But no, the best value picks, although I don't know what the hell they're going to do with them, are at 6 and 7, the Pirates and the Marlins. Seth Hernandez, watch for this name in the future, and Ava Arquette. Ava Arquette's all-star in the making, and he's now with the Marlins, so it's going to be amazing the draw they get for him when they trade him. I don't know why the Marlins are taking. Why are the Marlins taking an established college shortstop? He's going to be fun to watch, but
that was confusing to me as well. Like, do you know when your competitive window is opening? Because it's not like next year.
Yeah,
but okay, sure. Huh.
You know who freaked out the most of that were the next two picks, Toronto and Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They had to be salivating that Ava was still there.
Yeah,
and then Toronto, like, especially.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is why we need a little bit. I'm still on board with first-round trades.
I agree.
Uh-huh.
All right. Anything else before we move on?
No. Nothing on my end. Mm-hmm. Covered everything.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about kind of like a warm-up for we're now past the All-Star break. So we're in that weird two-week window between the All-Star break and the trade deadline. When all of a sudden everybody starts acting like the 12 games that you're going to play between now and July 31st are the most important games that you will play and will decide the entire future of your franchise for the rest of the season, which is like going to be an even bigger problem than usual this year, particularly in the American League, because we have like, you know, there, I don't know, 75 teams in the mix for the wild card hunt. And we're going to have a whole bunch of people making a whole bunch of real critical decisions based on, like, 12 games. So good luck to anybody whose strength of schedule looks rather ugly over the next 2 weeks. But I just wanted to talk to you guys about this. I mean, like, we got to stop doing this, right? Like, it's got to be body of work and what you think comes after. Not it will all hinge on the next 2 weeks. And I just, this isn't a valid reason to stay in or drop out of the race, right?
Yeah, you know, I think we're teams don't want to be billed as sellers. I think that's the problem. Like, teams just, they don't want to be labeled as a seller at the deadline, because then you're
the Marlins, gets, Mariners do.
The Mariners are always doing stuff.
The Mariners are both buying and selling it all.
Yeah, pretty much.
They just want you to know they're sellers. We're sellers, guys. Even, they may buy.
They can be down there with the White Sox. They're going to buy a little bit and sell. No, I think, like, look, you get the obvious teams are going to sell. I mean, you know, but you also have teams that, I mean, you look at the standings, a good 2 weeks, and they're in a wild card spot. A bad 2 weeks, and they're 6-7 games out. So, I agree with you. Like it should be the body of work. You should be taking a look at your roster and be like, okay, if I'm able to get this and this at the deadline to go with what's gone right so far, we can make a run. That should be the decision, right? Like, not let me see what the team does for the next 2 weeks. It should be exactly what you're talking about, the body of work. Unfortunately, that's just not how these teams operate anymore. And I don't know if it's the expanded wild card that had caused all this or what. I mean, teams used to make this decision wicked early. Like, going into the break, you kind of knew which ones were going to sell and which ones were going to buy. Now, I mean, Smith, we talked about it with that Red Sox documentary. They're sitting there days before the deadline still trying to figure out what to do.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, and I think you're right. This is a lot of this, at least, is about the expanded wildcard. There are too many people still in contention, which, and I'm not listing that as a problem, for the record. I want,
of course, no,
everybody to be in contention. But what it does is, like, it was already going to be a seller's market because of who was potentially available at this particular deadline. And the fact that we have this situation where there's just too many people in the mix makes it even more of a seller's market, right? Because, like, everybody's buying, nobody's selling. So it's a seller's market on top of the fact that it was naturally going to shake out that way anyway based on who is presumably available. And then it makes people think crazy things. Like, there will be violence if I hear one more time a bunch of people being like, well, we could get Steven Kwan. No. Are you planning to give the Guardians your entire farm system? He has 2.5 years of control left, you morons. Do you have a whole farm system that you'd like to hand
Who
over?
Who the crap has been saying that? That's hilarious.
I don't know. ESPN, Philly, oh, okay. People. Like, see, yeah, it's nobody credible. But my point is this stuff gets out there, right? But
yeah, oh, yeah.
And you're just like, okay, like, would please learn the difference. If there's one thing that I would stress to all of you at the trade deadline, learn the difference between who they're listening on and who they're actually willing to trade. You are listening on almost anyone. If I'm the Guardians, if somebody says, what do you want for Jose Ramirez, I am hanging up the phone. If you're asking me about anyone else, I'll at least listen to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I'm going to trade them. If nothing else, I'd like to get an idea of what that market's going to look like for a year and a half from now when I might actually want to trade that person. I want to know if somebody's going to do something stupid. But, like, people like that aren't moving. Like, you don't – your eighth best prospect for a guy with 2.5 years of control – no, this doesn't make any sense, and it just causes more of that kind of stuff to go on, which just makes me want to knock my head off the wall and give myself a concussion. So, I don't know. Irby, what are your thoughts on all of this?
That was awesome. Thank you for that. Yes, I think that's the first step that a lot of us, that we just need to understand during this phase. During this time, there's going to be plenty of, oh, yeah, they're getting hot. They're going to be buyers now. No, that decision's already been made. It's just what level of buying are they going to do? What level of selling are they going to do?
Yes.
Hold on, let me back up. The good front office.
Well,
to clarify that.
Okay, right. We'll assume
they're
going
to sit there and have already made the decision of, we need to add a bat at first base. So you've already made the decision. You know your targets and everything. You might be looking at these 2 weeks going, okay, do we get the rental? Or do we need to give up a little bit more? And, hey, this is actually something we can do, and maybe we go big. Let's see what happens over these next 2 weeks. But that will help make that decision. Not make the decision. It will help make the decision of which of the players you go for or don't go for. That's one. The other one is, just because a team should trade away somebody doesn't mean that they did the poor job if they don't trade them away. If no one's buying them, it's not your fault. Why didn't you get rid of them? Well, nobody wanted them. We were going to give them up for an A-ball guy.
Oh, well, especially if that person is not a rental, right? If they have even a year left beyond this on the contract, then if it's a rental you're waiting for the off-season, the only people who have to be moved are the people where you're basically saying, we're going to get nothing for this guy if we don't do it, and he's a high enough ticket item that you have to get something. Everybody else, they don't have to give, you know, those kind of people, yeah, it's like whatever the highest bidder is, but anyone else, if they don't like your offer, they can just say, you know, we're trading him to Mr. Nobody. He's going nowhere. Nobody wins. So that's the thing I think people forget, too, is that just because somebody's name is being bandied about in the situation as possibly someone who could get traded, if the team doesn't have to move them now, especially in a market like this, they may very well not be getting moved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. I mean, and if you want pitching, friggin' good luck to you, because everybody's looking for pitching. So, and if you're trying to sell a bat, you know, a little better off, I guess. But, yeah.
I don't know, Irby. That sounds like an opportunity to me.
I mean, it certainly
for
is.
For what, the bat or the pitching?
For the
bat. I hear Rich Hill's making a comeback.
No.
I mean, it makes, there's a good argument that says the Rangers and the Guardians both should buy because they're looking for bats and everybody else is looking for pitching. So you can do some of that little buy, little sell and probably get something better than you should be able to get because you are not looking for the things that everybody else in the mix is looking for. So might help. Might help.
Could be fun.
Anything else on this?
Could be move on. Just that it could be a fun trade deadline for us lollygaggers.
It might be. I actually think this is going to be a pretty dull deadline based on the way that things are going and what looks like it's going to be available, but we shall see. You never know, right?
Yeah. All right, Irby, anything else on this?
No, looking forward to the trade deadline. Always are.
Two more weeks, guys. 2 more weeks. 15 days as of the time of this recording. It's rock and roll. All right, Samantha, anything else before we move on to Irby?
Nope.
Okay. Herbs, you're up. You're at the plate. What you got?
Yeah, well, so last week we talked about, you know, who do you want fired, and we just had fun with that stuff. And, you know, we've already had 4 managers have already been let go of the Pirates, Rockies, Orioles, and Nationals, and 1 GM. So here we are with this break. This kind of goes along. You know, we're past the halfway point. We're at the All-Star break. There's one team I never thought I would do this, never thought we'd come up, but I want to get y'all's take on this, the fact that we are sitting here at the All-Star break taking a breather, and I'm going to bring up the fact that maybe it's time for some change in Atlanta. Wonderful All-Star game. They did a great job hosting all that stuff, but is it time for some changes? Is it, you know, Snitker has been there since 2016. He took over not halfway through the season. It was about a third of the way through the season he took over. Has led them to a World Series championship, and has had gone through some ups and downs with this team, but the success, lack of success. I mean, last year was a disappointment. You can point at injuries and stuff like that. You made the playoffs, but it was a quick done, You know, lost was the wild card game, 2 games done, and now here you are. You're behind the Marlins. Like that's the hardest part of here with looking at what Atlanta has left and what they can do. Can they get in the car? I don't think they can get back in the conversation to the old buyer sellers. We talked about that stuff. So Brian Snitker is the hot seat question there, but I'll expand it even more. And your executive of player operations, VP of baseball operations, GM, all those fun titles, Alex Anthopoulos. He's been there since 2018. Is he on the hot seat as well? We've already seen Washington do the double fire and move on. And I'm not saying right now. Maybe this isn't at the end of the season, but wanted to get y'all's take on how hot is the seats. Not just seat, but the seats in Atlanta.
I think they're pretty warm. They almost have to be. Now, I mean, look, yeah, you could write off last year as injury bug season and you know, they started off this season hurt, but, you know, Acuna's been back for a while, and they're still struggling. They're still struggling mightily. Yeah, I think those seats are hot. Samantha, what about you?
Yeah, I don't think there's really any reason to be firing either of these people now. I don't think that's going to serve any purpose at all, but at the end of the season...
Yeah.
I mean, this doesn't feel like a dramatic midseason firing situation. That's not going to help anybody. It doesn't really make any sense. But, yeah, come the end of the season, I mean, Snitker, I think there's an argument there that, you know, he is pretty old and he's been there for a while. And sometimes you just don't have it anymore. And you want to be careful with that because this is somebody who won you a World Series and who I don't think is a bad manager, but he may be aging out of the job. And as far as Anthopoulos goes, I mean, I'm not super convinced that I think he is a particularly good GM. He had a really rough tenure in Toronto. It's not that he didn't make some good decisions. It's that he made a lot of very expensive decisions
There it is.
All at
yes.
once?
Yes.
And that's very Dave Dombrowski-esque, but you, if you do that, you got to go get your win. And okay, they did, but then the whole thing comes apart after that, and you usually can't hang on to your job. Because a truly good GM doesn't really operate that way. It's more like World Series mercenary, which, I mean, God bless you. I wish I had one. But, like, it's not a sustainable practice. And ultimately, I think it's because the person doing it is not necessarily skilled at maintaining competitive advantage over the years. And you look at the teams, who are our five teams, the Cardinals, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Guardians, and I forget who the fifth, Houston, unfortunately. Those teams that are just always there, they're always at least in the mix, even if they don't win, are really, really good at never having this happen to them. And some of those teams have not gotten the World Series, but they stay in the mix because the GM knows how to keep the team at a certain level before everybody freaks out and says, like, hey, let's fire everybody. This is more of the... You know, again, with the Dave Dombrowski, they're like, well, you go out, you throw a bunch of money at it, you better hope you win, because if you don't, you're getting fired right away, but you're probably getting fired 2 years later anyway.
I love that phrasing there. I want to normalize that more. It's not that you made good decisions or bad decisions, you made expensive decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, mm-hmm. Oh, that is good. And I know there's salary cut, whatever, but that in baseball can be one of the quickest things for 29 of the 30 teams to really be an issue. Yes, I realize that one of them just defers it to the year 3000.
Well, but yeah, the money's not real there. It's not real money.
So, yeah, it's tough. It's a weird conversation when you see these guys that have taken six straight division championships, a World Series in there. Yes, yeah. It's awesome. And I hate having this, but last year is starting to look less of like, I think we all did that of like, okay, this was an injury issue. They still made the playoffs. They finished ahead of the Mets, but it didn't have the legs in the end, obviously. And here it was, okay, it was just a bad start because of the injury. You were running out of excuses. Like, what is it? What is it? And can you really go into with the core team that the Braves have built, bought, whatever word you want to use, can you really continue with the exact same leadership going into 2026. I don't know. I agree with y'all that there's no need to make this decision today, next week, next month, anything like that. This is more of a, no, it's you guys, it's your job. Get it done. Do it. And then at the end of the year, if you don't have any more positive results, any steps forward, any light going forward, I can see both. Definitely manager, but I can see both at the end of the season if this is not a playoff team. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a playoff team.
I don't think they're going to be. So, yeah.
Which also makes the trade deadline fun. If Anthopoulos is sitting there saying, yeah, we want to add this if there's some other ownership. Whoa. No, you're not.
Yeah.
We're not making that. Well, I'm not taking on that payroll. But, yeah, that's all I have for there. Just keep an eye on Atlanta. How hot that seat is getting.
All right.
That was the one. The other one, you know, we y'all kind of hinted at this, of the ridiculousness of a young Jacob Mizrowski, electric arm, all-star arm. That's weird to say. 5 starts in, but whatever. Brewers drafted this young man out of JUCO in 2022. I want to give numbers and stuff like that, and I love, because this brings into the arm conversation and how you use the arm and everything, and there's no need for me to say, because you guys both do a wonderful job of this, so I want to give you all the numbers here and let y'all run with your decision and have fun with this. So go ahead, buckle up, folks. This is going to be fun. I love when Bo and Samantha do this. I'm just stoking the fire right now. Mizrowski, he's yet to throw over 100 innings in his professional career. Like Milwaukee has been real smart with this young man and how they've tapered his innings. And how they've used him so far. He's vastly quickly approaching that. He's won probably 2 starts away from passing that number. He's at 89 so far this season, thrown between the minors and the majors. So he will definitely break his mark. He's never thrown over 100 innings. He's definitely going to hit that. I'm not comparing, like there's plenty of comparison of the numbers on the peripherals, whatever you want to say numbers wise. I want to talk more about usage and how it is different, because his usage feels very similar to another rookie that we've seen brought up, Chase Burns. Chase Burns, through college, played 2 years at Tennessee, 1 year at Wake Forest, never broke the 100-inning mark. He actually got right at 100 in his last year at Wake Forest, which was 2024. This year, 1 year in the minors and now the majors with the Reds, he's at 66 innings. Again, that number's going to go above 100, but it's still not a crazy number. But he's only at 66 innings so far this year. The big outlier is Skeens, the one that everyone has talked about, who is now in his third straight year of over 121 innings pitched. Between LSU and now the Pirates, he's putting up innings like crazy. You can compare the three, however. There's plenty of other arms. We could go through tons of them. We see the ones that are coming up. A similar conversation with Bremer, with the amount of usage there that makes him MLB ready. But is it too much? And so it's a conversation there of bringing a pitcher along slowly, so that by the time he's built up arm endurance, stamina by the time he gets to the majors, or do you bring them up quickly so that you start getting the best young years out of them, but can it be sustainable? I don't think there's ever a perfect answer, but again, I'm going to turn to you two who have done plenty of wonderful research on this. So, Bo, Samantha, the floor is yours.
Well, I mean, we've seen both, and we've seen both fail. Right, Samantha. Didn't the Nationals do this with Strasburg? Right, they had that innings cap on him his rookie year, even though they were in the playoff hunt, they still shut him down. They brought him along slowly, and he still had.
Yeah,
to have...
although he had an extensive injury history.
Sure, true, also yeah, true.
So
I would certainly lean towards the caution, especially now with more of these injuries popping up than we've seen before. Like I would definitely lean towards caution. But then again, like when you get them to the big leagues and you start them wherever you start them in your in that season, how tempting is it down the stretch to keep using them because they're pitching well, even though they're going well beyond previous inning limits? I mean, I think you got to stick to your guns on this and stick to those innings limits. You've got to bring them along. If they threw 100 innings last year, you can go a little bit beyond 100 innings this next year, and so on and so forth.
Sure, and I think there's two things that come into play here also, in addition to what you said. One of them is, where is your team in its competitive window? Because, yeah, like, let's face it, if you are in a position to compete for a World Series, are you going to fry some kid's arm to try to do that? Absolutely you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you're going to do that. And, like, everybody knows the deal. Is it ethical? Probably not. Are you going to do it anyway? Do you want your team to do it? Yeah, you kind of do. So, you know, I think that's one sort of just piece of, like, reality that we kind of have to deal with here, which makes the Pirates allowing Skeens to continue doing this all the more baffling, because they're not going to beat him for anything. So, but what, I mean, I guess what do they care, right? They're just going to trade him, so they don't care if he flames out after 6 years. They just need him to last long enough so they can trade him to the Yankees in a couple of years. But the other piece of this is the issue with stress pitches and high leverage pitches. And yeah, I would argue that, you know, if you're, you know, the defense of these is often like, well, he threw X number of innings in college. And it's like, and were those in the College World Series? You play for an SEC team. Like, I have a lot of questions about where you came from and how high stress the pitches really were and what kind of leverage situation that was. Because there's a big difference between throwing 100 plus innings in Major League Baseball and 100 plus innings in college, in most instances, certainly in the minors. There's a big difference there. So I think, and we see it, I mean, Garrett Crochet is another name I want to throw out there, because even though he was not a rookie, he was a reliever. This is going to be the first season where he really throws a meaningful number of innings. He's been shut down before as a starter, so we don't really know what's going to happen with him.
Yeah.
So they've been careful. This year they have less motivation to do that, and Boston knew what they were getting when they traded for him and knew that, and I think they're going to, you know, provided that they stay in the race, and it looks like they will, they're going to push the pedal down on that. But again, you know, you're talking about somebody who, as a starter, is a lot more akin to Skeens, to Mizrowski, to somebody who doesn't have a lot of innings, because he was a relief pitcher for the bulk of his early career. So there wasn't really an issue with innings in that way. Something to consider.
You know,
the crochet, that's a great one there. Mm-hmm. You know, the injury in 2021, that was the first time he was going to get, because he never went over 64 innings when he pitched at Tennessee in college and throughout the minors. And this is 22. And 23, you know, just had the little bit of time when he had two or three starts. Not much. Or no, he pitched that really good, but he only had like 20 innings. 22.
Right, last he was pitching year, in relief. He was not a starter. Right. Yeah.
Last year, 146 innings, and he's already at 129 this year.
Right. So he's going to go over 150 for sure, no matter what they do. But, yeah. I mean, that's going to be a pretty big jump if he pitches all the way to the end. So do you shut him down for a while so he's fresh for the playoffs? Because that is a lot of innings on a guy who has never thrown anything close to that before.
You know, you
No, that's a great comparison with the ones that we talked about with Mizrowski, Skeens, and Burns, where were the three teams in different positions here.
Right.
Where Mizrowski, I mean, minor leagues and JUCO ball. Nothing against JUCO ball, but it's not College World Series. It's not Omaha.
Right, exactly.
And you know, whereas Skeens, a lot of people learned his name there when he did that at LSU. Burns, fortunately, Wake Forest last year got upset in the regional round, so he only went to 100 innings last year. He probably would have been sitting at closer to 140 had they made a deep run in the College World Series. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You brought up a really good point with the stress pitches. That's something that we haven't talked about this before, but that's something I really want to start tracking. Like, I know teams track it, but the network should track it too. Like, that should be part of the pitch count, right? Give the total pitches, but how many of those are stress pitches?
Right. I actually think there's some deliberate obfuscation there in terms of not wanting to share that information. I don't think teams actually want that out there available to the public, but you're right. It does make it tempting to try to track it yourself, which would be impossible unless you wanted to make that your full-time job. I mean, but, I mean, that's tough.
I mean,
I've been tracking the Rockies' stressful pitches. It's up to five.
Five. I'm actually surprised it's that high. All right. Anything else on this one?
No, that's all I had. It was just wanting to look at these teams, where they're at different ones. And I agree with y'all that there's no great answer, because it has to do with what the player has been through, where you are that season, and where you are in the future, what you see them as your future plans. Because I remember criticizing the Strasburg thing, and I know it was very injury-related. It ended up paying off for him. It took a while, but it ended up paying off, and
don't you think they just got lucky, though? I mean,
there's amount of luck too. Like I mean, that's the thing with the Brewers here. Like, how you can't, like, Mizrowski, you're running with this as long as you can.
Yeah,
like, you're doing it as long as you can, and to the point of it might be something next year. We tell the kids, like, if something's not right, like, hey man, we're gonna start you off in the minors next year because you're just 23. Sure. He's just gonna be 24. That is just to get things right, build your endurance up. Let's focus on that stuff. We'll bring you back up when it's time again. And you do that for a couple years. You don't do that all the time, but if you can do that for a couple years, sure. Just like if Milwaukee has the opportunity, I would do it this year. And we're demoting you for 2 weeks. You haven't done anything wrong. We just want you to work out, stay limber for 2 weeks. You'll be back up here to make a run for the postseason. If you can do that.
Yeah, or do you just shut him down? I mean, like, you'd have to phantom IL him, but you could shut him down. Like, mid-August, send him out to Arizona.
But if you've already, he started, you're in the minor league, so it's not really going to cost you anything to drop him back down and just go, hey, man, we're going to go here. You're going to pitch tomorrow night. You're going to pitch the seventh inning for 15 pitches. And
sure.
I don't care if it's a 2-1 count. He's out after 15 pitches. Like, and you're going to do that for 2 weeks every fourth day, and you're coming right back up. We just want you to stay loose, stay limber, and then come back up. It's not a you thing. It's a long-term you thing.
I think that sounds like a great way to handle it. Do you think the Brewers have the sense to do that?
Oh, no, they'll just do it in one of his starts. Hey, man, you're going to start. Whatever you do with this first batter, we're going to take you out after it.
Yep.
Unless you get him out, then you're going to pitch 8 innings.
All right. Anything else, Irby? Not all you had?
That's all I got. Nothing too controversial for this week.
Give it time. Give it time.
Yeah.
All right, well, I want to talk to you guys about this because this is something that's becoming, it's starting to come to a head now. I'm talking about the Rangers pitching staff. John Gray's on rehab assignment. Josh Spores is on rehab assignment. I think, Irby, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Mally's expected back soon. Right? He started throwing.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. So the rotation's already full. Even with all these injuries they've had and whatnot, you know, like still, like Kumar Rocker has held his own. They signed Patrick Corbin. Corbin is actually having a resurgence of a season. Like the staff is humming along. And you've got Mally coming back. Obviously, they're going to put him back in the rotation. John Gray, they've got penciled for the bullpen. I did read that the other day. So maybe, just maybe, we're going to get John Gray as the closer like I've been screaming for the last 6 months. But obviously, it's a good problem to have, Irby. It's what every team that's out there looking for pitching right now wishes they could say. But the Rangers have a logjam. How does this get sorted out? I'll just throw this out here. I could envision, as part of a sell and buy, trading a guy like Mally at the deadline if he proves that he's healthy and if teams are satisfied with his medicals. I could see them moving him. He's on the last year of his contract, moving him for a bat, bringing John Gray back into the bullpen along with Sabores and letting the rotation keep cranking. So I'll start it off there, but what do you think? Like, how does this sort out?
Well, unfortunately, it's either that. It's you move on from a, although I hear what you're saying with Mally, it makes sense. I prefer it to be a Patrick Corbin situation. Like, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sure.
Anyways.
Yep. Good
something
point.
Something like that where you, yeah. But it might also be, and this is also an innings thing with coming off an injury where you reduce the time with Rocker, who mm-hmm. has been, Kumar has had, he's had some great starts. He's had some bumps on the road. Life and everything, and it's been a good year for him on both ways. And maybe it's time to maybe, you know, back down to AAA, continue to work on this stuff. See you next year as you fight for a rotation spot again, and so that we don't have to bring in guys like Corbin, pieces like that. So I mean, it's going to be a combination of those. It's so funny how so many times these things seem to work themselves out with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I and so is there someone else going to go down? Because I know the Rangers aren't going to do the MLB version and forget that they have Nathan Eovaldi. I know that's, but yeah, it's a good problem to have. It's a problem that the Texas Rangers franchise has never had.
Not once.
So
ever.
I guess from that sense, this is all theory. I have no idea.
We see.
They've never had this problem, so who knows?
It's not a pitching resurgence, it's a surgence.
Yeah. Sandy, you've had pitching before. What do we do?
Thank you. That was my next question.
You had teams with pitching? I'm very confused.
If you're not us, you go out and get some bats and try to win a World Series. If you're us, you just keep hoarding pitching, and then you get some more pitching, and you get some more, and you get some more, and you get some more, and every year you go to the playoffs, and every year you crap out because you don't have any bats. Let me ask you guys a question. So where are you putting the odds that they're going to be buyers at the deadline? I mean, and I mean significant buyers. I don't mean the little buy, little sell. We're hanging around, so we're not going to wave the white flag. I mean buying as in we are going after a big piece and we're going to try to stay in the hunt. Because that's going to indicate, well, I need to know that first before I say anything else.
Well,
3-1 odds.
The only thing that complicates this is the luxury tax issue that they're trying to stay underneath so they don't get hit with that repetitive penalty going into next year. So they're not going to go over the luxury tax. And they've got, what, maybe $4 million, $5 million, I think, to spare.
Roughly like $5 million. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not accounting for bonuses that are met. I think Mally could eat up that entire bit just by pitching a certain amount of innings. So his entry may have helped them with their luxury tax. I think they want to buy. I think that if it was any other year where they're not worried about the luxury tax, they would absolutely be buying. This year, they're a little hamstrung by that. So if they find something revenue neutral or something that allows them to make a big move for a big bat and also stay under that luxury tax, they'll do it in a heartbeat. So it's money. It's not, are we contending or are we not contending? I guess is the answer to that question, which I don't know if that helps you or not. It may not.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it answers the question as to what they will do, but no, that's good information to have, because a lot of what I was going to ask is, are you willing to deal major league pitching talent to get a bat? And it sounds to me like what you're saying is actually we might be, because we need to remain revenue neutral.
Yeah.
So perhaps that is in fact the solution, because that's what I was going to propose, and maybe it makes actually more sense than I was thinking originally. Mm-hmm. Because if you know, you have this concern and you're talking about Mally, like, okay, well you just blown your budget there. One example. But yeah, if you are willing to deal from major league pitching, then you're in a different situation, particularly because, like we talked about earlier, if everybody needs pitching, right now all of a sudden your trade partners are not just the garbage people who are selling. Your trade partners might also be other contenders who need the opposite of what you need. You know, there's a major leaguer for major leaguer trade to be made there, sure. Don't you think?
Yeah.
At least potentially, if they're willing to commit to the run. So.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
That could also work. That could also
work. Well, that absolutely brings in your Mally conversation, because he's getting paid. I know that it's not full, but $16.5 million this year is what he was owed. So that is a huge chunk there in a major for major trade.
Although I would be afraid you would have to eat a fair amount of that, because ain't nobody paying that much to that guy. So
valid, and there's the one. There's the conversation between that and the Patrick Corbin, who signed, I think it was just a $1 million deal. Like you traded that. That didn't really help us. Like that's saving us what, $300,000?
Set up with the money.
Problem. Yeah. I don't even, there's no reason to do it, right? It doesn't accomplish anything. You might as well just hang on to him just in case somebody gets hurt,
Yep.
But yeah, if you could move Mally, well, you need somebody, I'm going to quote 10 Things I Hate About You again and say we need someone with money who's stupid, which does exist.
Oh, it's all over baseball.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Don't the Yankees need pitching?
Someone with money who's
stupid. The Yankees aren't stupid, but they've got money to throw around, so any pitching.
We need someone like the Mets and the Padres.
Yeah, that's more what I was thinking. Yeah.
We wanted them to be themselves.
Yeah. I'm mostly Mets. That's my primary. you look good. I'm going to call you. You're just in town. Let me tell you what you should be. Yeah.
Oh boy!
Can Jeff McNeil play first base? No, we're not doing this.
All right, one more piece before we go. Let's have a little fun here, because as we've mentioned a few times on the show tonight, the trade deadline is coming up. So I'm going to ask you guys: we're going to bring the Muppets back into this. You get one Muppet you can trade for at the trade deadline. Which Muppet are you taking? And
I thought it was the home run derby.
No, it was the trade deadline for the adding a Muppet. Trading for a Muppet. We can make it about the home run derby if you prefer.
That was what I understood the topic to be.
Okay. Well, my answer doesn't change. So we could do that.
Well, he's just going to say what he always says. So.
Yeah. Animal. It's my dude. I'm going to draft him every chance I get. Put him right there in the home run derby and just watch him mash.
Why does he can mash? Is it because his arms are so long? His arms are long.
No, the question, though, with Animal is he's going to hit the ball really hard. How many of them are going to have the exit velocity and the arch angle together? Like the launch angle and the X, like they're all going to have the velocity, but how many is he going to get under enough to get out of the park?
Yeah, I mean, he does, but those really long spindly arms, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. he could jack that arm angle up like really good, you know, with those spaghetti arms. He could really get that elbow up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, like, it's like, and the one-handed finish. And people with a one-handed finish, like, we've talked about this before, tend to do better in the derby. The two-handed finish is harder. Like, Animal Man, he's totally a one-handed finisher, right?
Absolutely.
Batting stance. I can't believe we're, like, making up a batting stance for a Muppet. But, yeah, no, it's like, I don't even think he would be bad at it. I don't know if he'd be the best at it, but I don't know, man, he might be sneaky good. You know,
he might
have
be.
Some traits.
Yeah, you talk about that one hand finish like Schwarber last night in the swing off. It was a third. Mm-hmm. It was a third home run. He fully went out with that one hand and down to a knee. It was.
I can see Animal doing that. So yeah, I'm taking Animal. How about you, Samantha? Who are you taking?
I think I'm gonna go with Sweetums. He looks like he could mash. Like, sometimes you just got to find the biggest one. You know, you just get the really big one. Like, he's, right? I think Sweetums is the Pete Alonso of Muppets. I actually think that's true in a lot of ways. I won't say all of them because people will get mad at me. But in many ways, he is the Pete Alonso of Muppets. Or perhaps Pete Alonso is the Sweetums of baseball players. You could do it either way. But anyway, like... He's big, you know, he's very solid. I mean, that is just a solid dude, man. You don't have to swing very hard. And that thing's going to go real far, right? So I'm going to go with Sweetums.
You think he's going to generate the bat speed he needs?
I don't know that he needs to. I think you just need to have something.
He just needs contact.
Yeah. Like you would need to have a pitcher who could throw hard, right? Because you got to have some velocity in there somewhere to give him something to go off of. But yeah, I'm thinking of Sweetums with like that sort of halfway check swing home run we've seen a couple times in baseball, right, from some big fella. Like, I think that's Sweetums. Minimal effort, maximal distance. Now, I don't know that his pitch selection is all that good. I will put that out there. I'm not sure Animal's pitch selection is all that good either. But the thing about Animal would do well against the clock because he'll just go crazy, right? I mean, he'll pass out for like 3 days afterwards, but he'll just go crazy and swing and swing and swing. Sweetums, I can see him just stopping and standing there and watching the clock for a while. So that is a handicap that I will have to think about. But he's my best candidate.
If we're not limiting the pitches, if it's strictly clock, Animal's going to get like 70 swings around.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I mean. And it's like, and then he's going to go into a coma for, you know, an indeterminate amount of time. But like, he would keep going until he literally dropped.
Animal tired.
That is something to consider. Yeah, animal tired, animal nap, and then he's just going to lay there on the plate. They're going to have to drag him away like he's Tim Anderson, and we're Andrew Vaughn removing him from the field like as dead weight.
Animal would not be available for after the All-Star game. He's one of the leave early.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Irby?
Wonderful points. Y'all, I will almost always get into an analytical discussion of launch angles of Sweetums and arm angles of Animal, and it makes perfect sense. And I mean, y'all went through your pros and cons and everything, but this is the home run derby. This is violence. This is brute force. This is Miss Piggy. The rage...
Wow.
We're going to see some 500-foot bombs.
We won't see him if it's on ESPN. We won't see him. But
it'd be, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
You got to have Kermit. Like,
I just got to show Kermit's face on the Jumbotron. And,
you have to show Kermit maybe getting a little too friendly with, like,
yeah,
some, you know, a player's wife. Or something. So and then Miss Piggy's going to have the pink rage. She's going to have a rage blackout. She'll be amazing. That's a great idea.
She'll be wonderful for a few pitches. It'll be fun to watch and everything. And then, yes, ESPN will do a cutaway to Kermit over there, hanging out with the wrong player's wife. And then Miss Piggy's dropping 550-foot bombs.
So, right now I'm visualizing Miss Piggy swinging a bat in a home run derby, and I'm not going to get that out of my head ever. And that's okay. That's a good one to have permanently in my head.
But she needs to be wearing like an evening gown and like a fur stole while she's doing it.
There you go.
Miss Piggy is not changing her look for the Home Run Derby. I want to put that out there. She is going to go out there in high heels that are going to sink into the dirt and an evening gown. And she's going to mash.
So
pearls as well the whole time. Can you imagine though when she finally takes her time out? Kermit's got to walk out there with a Gatorade.
You're doing wonderful. I'm sorry.
So, okay. Who's the pitcher in the Home Run Derby of Muppets? Who's throwing the ball?
Who are they pitching to? Which one?
Okay, you know what? That's even better. Who's pitching to your Muppet?
Okay, to Sweetums? All right, so I need somebody who can throw really hard. Right. Okay. Man, this is tough. Muppets are inherently like not.
I've got mine. If you need to wait a little longer,
yeah. Let me think on this. I might have to use a Fraggle. Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, with the Miss Piggy show and knowing what's going to happen, I need all business here. Sam the Eagle, middle high. He just hit it there all day long.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Samantha, do you have yours? Because okay. I have mine.
Yeah, go ahead and do yours.
Okay, so I need somebody to control animals' chaos. I'm going with Fozzie Bear.
That is the opposite of controlling chaos. chaos.
That's going to kill your clock because every time Animal hits one out, he's going to turn his head. Wow!
Yeah,
Walker, Walker.
Yeah, but I'm getting like 800 swings out of Animal, so it's fine. He's going to swing it every single pitch.
Not just, no, your pitcher's going to be distracted, though, because he's going to be watching the home run. And then he turns back with his big mouth. That's your only drawback of Fozzie. He's just going to be enjoying the show.
But Fozzie's...
Like, Fozzie, you're working. Stop enjoying. You're working.
But he's also like that one Muppet I feel like could just hit the same spot over and over again with his pitches.
Probably. Yeah. No. There's some good logic to it.
He's also the one that's like more than 3 feet tall. So, he can get over the cage. Or the net. All right, Samantha.
I have to go with Marjorie the Trash Heap.
Ooh.
She's got, I don't even know how many tons of garbage behind that. I mean, the power behind that pitch is going to be exquisite. And, I mean, what is pitching in the Home Run Derby if not junk balling, right? And she is literally a heap of junk. So, I think Marjorie's my pitcher.
I like it. Now I need to see this.
I would pay to see
this. Yeah, I just hope we have an alternate broadcast with Statler and Waldorf doing the...
Oh, yes. Yes. Actually, I would pay to hear Statler and Waldorf call the actual Home Run Derby.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That would certainly be better coverage than we got last night.
True.
Why'd that home run make a big splash? Because he's the big dumper.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Anything else on Muppets in the Home Run Derby? Anything that we did not cover? Anything else we need to pick a Muppet for?
Probably so many things we need to pick a Muppet for. So, you know, more on that in future episodes. But for tonight, I think I'm good.
Who's going to be the kid that steals the home run? Who's going to be that?
Oh, that's Rizzo, right?
Has to be. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Rizzo. No, that's Rizzo.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, that was wrong. It's Pepe.
Ah. Yeah. Either one will work. But yeah, Pepe. Oh. It's always fun when the Muppets enter the show. Unless they're kidnapping one of us, that's not as fun. All right.
Wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show, help us out with that algorithm so we get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week, watch some baseball. You may only have a week and a half left with your favorite player.